بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت سعد نبی وقاص رضی اللہ عنہ is known to be the respected uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He requested that his du'as be answered. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised that eat halal and your du'as will be answered. Eating halal is not a difficult thing. Sometimes it is our imaginations and our baseless fears that get the better of us, and we begin to think that pure halal is quite difficult, whereas it's not such. And this eating of halal is such an important thing that the Anbiya are commanded, kulu min at-tayyibat, that eat that which is pure, halal. And then Allah Ta'ala links it up with righteous works. So if you want to eat halal, then you will be inspired in righteousness. And if you're not going to be eating halal, then that inspiration to do right also will be lost. The motivation, the drive to do right, that also will be lost. So, a very basic and a simple solution, eat that is halal. Now, sometimes people talk about stories and incidents that are unperceivable, right? Stories that are unimaginable, unperceivable, or so difficult that people begin to have the tendency that in this age and time, eating halal is impossible. So, one person came to his friend, who he regarded as pious and conscious about halal. So he told him, make dua for me that I get halal rozi. So he says, in this age now, how is it going to work out? He says, up until 2-3 days ago I was eating halal, but now my cow that's giving milk, it went away, it crossed over onto the farm of the neighbor. So the sand and the fertilizer of my neighbor's farm got onto my cow's hoofs. And when it got into the hoofs, that animal came into my farm. So that sand got mixed up with my farm. So that's my neighbor's. And that sand and the fertilizer from the farm of my neighbor came onto my farm. So now, how can I eat halal? So now, although if someone looks at it from one perspective, man is very cautious, right? But really, what it would seem like, the intention here is to make the person just forget about halal and haram and just carry on, because now it's impossible. So when the Sharia speaks about halal and haram, then the Sharia doesn't take these type of things to consideration. It always has a practical approach to halal and haram. It will take a practical approach and make it easy for people. All right, what's your living style and how do you go about doing things? Last year sometimes, on Tamil it was, Naidu or Pillai, whatever it was. So he wanted to see me. He's doing somewhere in Belgium, so he wanted to come and see me. Alright. He accepted Islam, and then He's explaining me, all right, his problem. First, he, of his own, wanted to show, right, how he accepts Islam and all that. So he says his son had saw some Arabic inscriptions on the heavens. Perhaps he saw La ilaha illallah. And he knows that this is the thing that is recognized and accepted in the heavens. Inna deena, inna Allahi al-Islam. That the only thing that gets recognition and acceptance is Islam. So he saw this and he understood, alright, that this is the thing that gets recognition, and it's going to be a folly and a waste of time to reach Allah Ta'ala in any other way. And this is when the acceptance and recognition is confined to this, then any other way is not going to work. So I need to accept that, that this is the way it's going to come, and I need to move with that. Like, for example, you know that you're traveling on the freeway, right? The freeway has got certain restrictions, that you can move with a vehicle, you can't move with a bicycle. And if they see you with a bicycle, they will find you and they'll throw you out, right? Now, you know that that's the only way that they will allow you, they'll accept you on the freeway. Are you coming in with a wheelbarrow, with two people sitting, pushing the wheelbarrow? Are they going to accept you? So, every other religion is like a wheelbarrow. It needs to be pushed. It can't move on its own. You look at any other denomination, then they have to be pushed. They can't move on their own. An aeroplane, it moves on its own. You see anybody pushing it. You just have to start the engine and move it, and then it's challenging the winds, right? So that is Islam, moves on its own. And any other denomination, then it needs God to push it, woman to push it, recognition to push it, style and fashion to push it. So it needs all these things there. Now, in this way you find that if there's no wealth, there's no woman, there's no recognition and publicity, and these religions will just collapse. So these religions, they flourish just because of wealth. Getting the tithe, you're getting 10%. So he knows that he has to work very hard to get his tithe. Christianity, right? So he's now a regular church man, then he needs to pay the tithe. So you can imagine now, the man has got 10 shops, right? And he's earning, say 1 million rand a month. So, cool 100,000 is getting from one customer. You can't no longer call him a churchman, call him a client now. So, without this type of support, the thing can't function. And Islam, it runs on its own. It doesn't need support of wealth. It doesn't need support of a woman. It doesn't need any other support. See the dini works that take place. Sometimes people come and offer. So you say, all right now, just hold it. This woman comes, just hold it, right? So that dini said, it just grows. It grows. You just have to start it off and it moves. Many a times I have to remind myself and my friends, what we need to do in deen, see and ensure that you're doing with ikhlas. Number one, purely your eyesight on Allah Ta'ala, not on people and not on things. And number two is this, with ikhlas and trusting Allah Ta'ala, then commit yourself. See, anything can work and materialize if there is commitment. If you just do it one day and then after that you leave it out, then a person that starts off a business, you don't see him working just one day and then leaving it. He'll be committed to that business. It's a profession. You won't see him is doing it one day, then 2 months not doing, 1 month he's doing, and 2 months not doing. So he's committed to that. Then, because of the commitment and that earnestness, Allah Ta'ala allows that business to flourish. So the same law will apply to deen. that you have the ikhlas, trust firmly in Allah Ta'ala, and then Allah Ta'ala will open the way. It's not a difficult thing that it will not happen. It will happen. It happens in its own time, in its own way. Allah makes it happen. And sometimes in unique ways Allah Ta'ala will make it happen. But trust in Allah Ta'ala, look at Allah Ta'ala, and then see how Allah Ta'ala will bless you. One businessman in Bombay, he used to be importing needles of Punjabis, importing, right? So it used to come in from China or Japan, a certain type of needle. And he was doing it in a very big way, supplying the whole of Bombay and all that. Now, his whole consignment came, ten containers came, and it was not the description that he had asked for. He understands, I got a standing trade, and I'm going to send this back and ask for the next container, it will take a lot of time. 1 year will go. Right? Now he's sitting there, but he's worried. But this man was such, very clean in his business, committed, clean, and very extra conscious about his namaz. Namaz, 15, 20, 30 minutes before the namaz, he's there. And Juma, he won't even start the business before the Juma namaz. Whole morning, reading Quran Sharif, Surah Kahf, Salatul Tasbih, Durud Sharif, whatever else, he'll be doing that, and he'll only start his business after the Juma. فَإِذَا قُدِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. In conformity, this verse of the Quran Sharif, that after the namaz, then spread out and seek Allah Ta'ala's rozi. So in conformity with the verse, he won't start his business before the namaz. He will only start the business after the namaz. I've got 10 consignments here, 10 big containers. The needle has come with the wrong description. It's supposed to come, you know, with the eye of the needle. Now this is a plain needle and no eye. Now, who's going to buy this thing? It's just a plain needle without the eye. Now, who's going to buy this? Worried. Not even 1 hour passed, one person came that I never see before, he says. I don't know him, and I never see before. And he asked me for that type of needle. So whatever you got, I want all. Whatever you got, take your price, and whatever you got, just give it to me. And it just happened. So, see, your sight is in Allah Ta'ala, and sincerity, committing yourself to the business. You're conscious about your namaz. There's no flaw in your namaz, respecting Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala will take on. You will run your affairs for you afterwards. How he takes off, that's leave it to him. You don't worry about the rest of it. In West Zewar, they got a story there, that it's a drought, and all around crops are just perishing and all destroyed. And suddenly, man is walking past and he hears this voice in the cloud that rain on this farm here. Rain on this farm here. So that cloud, they all move in that direction and the rain exactly in that cloud, in that area. The man comes quickly, whatever instruments he's got, to see that the water goes rightly in the farm. So one person saw the spectacle and said, "Hey, but what's going on here now?" Then I heard the sound in the clouds that rain on this person's farm. And then I saw the cloud moving that direction and the rain just concentrated in that spot. It's a secret I didn't share it with anybody. But now that you saw it already, then it's pointless me concealing it from you. He says, whatever I have, I see it's halal, then 1/3 of it I spend on myself, my wife, my children. 1/3 I put it back into the business. And the other 1/3 I give out in charity. What you're seeing is the result of what I do. See? So I said rosy solutions, right? Taqwa and namaz. Taqwa and namaz. See to it that the taqwa is right. And trust, taqwa and trust. Allah Ta'ala, you know. I've been explaining in the last Jummah also, that the ayat that is most profound, you know, profound and most clear with regards to trusting in Allah Ta'ala and assigning your affair to Allah Ta'ala. Ayat in the Quran Sharif that is most profound and talking about trusting and assigning your affairs to Allah Ta'ala. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مُخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Fear Allah Ta'ala, then He'll create an exit for you. Any situation, any problem, then He brings an exit to it. You're wondering, hey, what happened now? But Allah Ta'ala will create an exit. You got a problem, but you trusted in Allah Ta'ala, you relied on Him, then it is His work to create an exit for you. But you show the desired amount of taqwa, righteousness and taqwa. And number two, is rely on Him, trust in Him. Whatever situation, whatever I've got, I got my Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is enough for me. He'll bring about a solution. See? So that's the most profound ayat with regards to assigning your affairs and trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this age, more than at any time, what's needed in this age, you see today, there's an abundance of material. The whole schooling is designed in this manner that you must hold on to the material. Right? The whole school, the whole world is, and that fikr is overwhelming. A young child, so there's a guardian's fund for him. And if it is a woman, then she's planning and she's preparing. What if she is divorced and she has to become a single parent, or she is widowed and nobody marries her? What's going to happen? So everybody's mind has been designed in that way, that I must do something for my material security. And our deen is telling us, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Bring about taqwa, Allah Ta'ala will see to you, and you create an exit for any situation, no matter who you are, which part of the world you live in. But Allah Pak will see to it that He creates an exit. But you keep the taqwa. As Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he says that I was at a railway station, right? So sometimes it happens that you have to go a bit earlier to the railway station, and then it is also better and safer to be a little bit earlier than rushing right at the end. Nowadays I have to tell the Juma speakers also, please go earlier. Because you can't envisage what's going to happen on the road. Sometimes there's a motor car accident, there's a pile up, and just from here to overboard it can take you an hour. So, and there, you may have a valid reason to be delayed. But remember there will be 400-500 people, sometimes a crowd of 1,000 persons, they're all waiting for the imam. So they're anxious to see you. And now, you have got a valid reason to be delayed. But now, understand that this type of situations are unpredictable. A pile-up, an accident, something is happening on the road. So the simplest thing was, just come earlier. Before, you were leaving about 1 hour before the Jummah namaz. It was alright. But now make sure that you are leaving 2 hours before the Jummah namaz, so that you save those people from anxiety, you're there on time, and you've got nice time to lay the whole talk out before the Musalli, right? And that in our context, the Jummah talk, that pre-Jummah talk is so important. It's like the life wire for that congregation for the week. Otherwise, the bulk of the crowd, they're not listening to anything about deen. Nothing about deen. The whole week goes, it's only their business, their food, and their home. They are not worried about deen, not listening to deen, not talking about deen. There's nothing about deen in their lives. So the only thing that's in their lives is the pre-Jummah talk. So how important it is for them to be listening to the Jummah talk will carry them for the week. Even if you explain 10 points and they took on 2 points or 1 point, it's something that they got to hold on to share with themselves, their wives and their children something that will the God too hold on to. Okay? So, and I nowadays I say, even if you are traveling by bus, or you're traveling by train or by plane, right? Please leave the home early. Leave the home and you can remain there at the station or at the airport, say 1-2 hours in advance. You won't be sorry and you won't have any type of remorse. Because you don't know what's happening on the road. See, there's so much of vehicles, overcrowded. Something can happen on the road. So you moved early, you wait there at the airport, but you are mentally, you're at ease, you are comfortable, no anxiety. So Imam Thani Sahib Rahmatullah, he's at the railway station. And he has to wait about 4 hours at the railway station before he can board the train. The train doesn't move like a plane, it is there and move slowly. So he has to wait there. Now, and the time is, he's landed there at about Maghrib time, and the train is going to depart after 4 hours. So it will be very dark. Now, in that time, on the station, there was no light. So, one person knew the station master, and he spoke to the station master, can you just give him a room so he can be in light? So he gave a room. What I see, I'm making dua in my heart, that, see, this light of the station master is not his light. It is the light of the railway company. So the railway company, they own that light. The railway company will allow the station master to use the light for his reason, for his work. Right? Not for providing light to others, for him to be using for his work. But if he's going to bring a railway light and going to be giving it to me, then I'm taking someone else's property. It's not my property. But property belongs to someone else, and I'm using someone's property incorrectly. But now, one thinks to himself, this man is a non-Muslim, and how am I to explain this type of a concept to the non-Muslim? Because then he will feel about Islam. Islam is very strict and very, very tight. So he said, I have no option but to turn to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you create an exit for me from this problem. See now this taqwa. Learn it and apply it. Learn it and apply it. So I said, by sort of getting into all fancy stories and all these things here, too much of news and all that. Rather, learn taqwa. We are here to learn taqwa. And we may think to ourselves that we'll have so much of news and information and we'll get respect. But the Quran is saying the criterion for respect is something totally different. The criterion for respect is إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Proportional to your taqwa is your respect. Here and across. You got taqwa, you got the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Proportional to that is your respect and honor. Got that? You don't have that, no respect. You got that, then it's respect. Zain al-Abidin, rahmatullahi, very great muttaqi. Great alim, great muttaqi. And he's making tawaf of the Baytullah. Right? You can imagine now at Hajj time, and the crowd that comes around the Baytullah at Hajj time. Can't. Just one round sometimes can take 20 minutes. One round. Choking. Whole place is called choking. Now, he's in the mataf, and the king, from Banu Umayyah or whatever, or Banu Abbas, and the king is making tawaf, and Zain al-Abidin, man of the public, and he's making tawaf. But strangely, when Zain al-Abidin rahmatullahi is making tawaf, and he has to come to the prominent points like Hajar al-Aswad and Rukn al-Yamani, the crowd is just opening, and as though it's saying, go. Have the honor of doing the Rukn al-Yamani, go have the honor of doing the Hajar al-Aswad. Now, the king, his entourage, they are watching what's going on. So one person asked the king, What's going on here? The crowd is not opening for the king, but the crowd is opening for the man of the public. Who is this person? The king knows Hazrat Zainul Abidin. He is known, and the whole world is known. So the big king knows him. But now, the king has to hide his pride. So I don't know who this person is. See, sometimes you will pretend not to know the person, so that you may feel, if I say I know him also, then it will lend to his honor and respect. So no, I don't know him. He's one of those people. So, as though you pretend not to know him, and you feel now in that, he won't be popular, he won't be recognized and respected. So people have got different ways to run someone down. There's a lot of ways to run the person down. So he did like he doesn't know the person. Now, Furuzduk is the shayd, is the poet of the time. And poets normally, they live out of handouts. They sing a song, a poetry, and they get a handout, somewhere 100,000, 50,000, according to how beautifully it was presented. So, he got upset, and he started giving his poetry. إِنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْهُ فَاللَّهُ يَعْرِفُهُ وَالْحِلُّ وَالْحَرَمُ. The whole poetry is not there. Like you see in Fazail al-Sadaqah. So if you don't know him, you don't recognize him, what's a big deal? Allah recognizes him, the heavens know him, the earth knows him. The haram knows him. And the outskirts know him, all know him. So what's a big deal if you don't? Anyway, this was a slap on the face of the king. Man here, that's what he's saying. So he was imprisoned. But now, look at these people, the love they had, love and respect. And I say, some of the things that we're missing out today, and that's why we're losing out, right? They had something, love and respect. Love and respect. And that ingredients that will take you up is this love and respect. Love, respect, trust. Love, respect and trust. So this was the ingredients that people had. And that took them up for it. And the same ingredients that we swept it out of our lives. We flushed it out. So therefore we're not seeing things happening. A talk will not have an effect on you. A masjid will not have an effect on you. A madrasa won't have an effect. Nothing will affect. Someone passed away, it won't affect you, right? Because you don't have that level of love, no respect. You don't have the trust in Allah Ta'ala, in His deen. You don't have it. So it doesn't change your life. So anyway, when the king heard this, he came across this, he got upset, caught him in jail. So now, Hazrat Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi alayhi got to know what happened. He did his istilam and he carried on. He doesn't know what happened after that. Later on he got to know that this would happen. So he went to bail him out. But take this and get bailed out. So now look at that Furuzduk. Now they live out of these handouts, but on that occasion see what was his response. He says, see, I've been living out with all these things here. But today I have done this only for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You the family. The love of Rasulullah, I've done this. I'm not going to sell away my deed for a few coppers. I'm not. Although what you're giving is big, 100,000 is giving me, I just to get myself freed. But I'm not going to take this, because I've done it only for the love of Rasulullah, let it be how I've done. So see the level of love, the level of respect, the level of trust they have. Allah give us that. These are the ingredients. You come into the khanqah for that. To learn love, to learn respect, to learn to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deen. And you got these things here, then you move in. And you don't have these things here, then it's just a show. A little bit of a show you got. A kurta you got, a trouser you got. A little bit more pious, you got a waistcoat. A little bit more pious, you got a turban. Right? So it's just a show. For most people, right? I don't say you shouldn't be adhering to the sunnah. It's very important. But equally or more important is to get the heart right. getting the face right and getting it so much. You know. Sometimes I see the boys now, they're missing the plot. You know, they're missing the plot. They're more concerned about their appearance. Sometimes I see now that takbir is started, right? So in 10 seconds, namaz will start. And someone is relaxed because there's a mirror there. He's watching now how the turban is fitted, is nice or not. He will look at that. Obviously, he's not going to get that first takbir. He may just come as the imam is going to ruku. But that fazilat of getting it right at the beginning, he didn't get the complete fazilat. It's alright, he got some reward, but not the complete reward of joining the namaz immediately with the imam. So, the appearance, your reputation, your image becomes more important than deen. So you become more important than deen. And their outlook was deen first. Anything that Allah Pak will like, Rasulullah Baksa will like, right? All that first, then I might just fall off of that. What Allah Pak will like, what my Rasulullah Baksa will like, what my elders, what they encourage, let me put that first. Then I come afterwards. I must now put myself first and let them follow. You see, so we're talking about rosy and the rosy solutions. And I say, get your namaz right, get the taqwa right, and Allah will see to the rest. And we're talking about the Mu'atani Sahib Rahmatullahi. And he's there in that railway station officer's office, right? He's there. Mu'atani is worried now that he will get the light, and the light is belonging to the railway station. The railway station light is only for him. It is not for him to share with anybody else. So, if he's going to be giving it to me, then I'm taking someone's property, that is not right. But if I explain this to him, then he will think that Islam is so narrow, so strict, etc. So he said the only recourse was now to beg to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you find a solution to this. So he cried. And in moments, the officer was there, and he says, see, this lamp here is my personal lamp. This lamp here that I'll be using for you is my personal lamp, so be at ease. But you see, you put Allah Ta'ala first, you thought of Rasulullah Baksan first, you thought of your elders first, and then from the unseen, Allah Ta'ala made it happen. So this aspect of taqwa, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, that must be prominent in our lives. The rosy solutions. We hear of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, right? And all the ill treatment, the difficulty that he went through, being thrown into the well. Right? At one stage, when he's about entering the prison, so the companions, the other satis in the prison, they're telling us, Yusuf alayhi salam, we just have a liking for you. We have a deep liking for you. We're expressing our love for you. So Yusuf alayhi salam says, please, Allah Pak says, don't take a deep ravi. Just moderate is enough, not too deep. Because in my childhood, when I was born, then my auntie had to take care of me. She became so fond, she didn't want to let go of me. And she didn't want to let go of me. I'm already been 3-4 years of age, supposed to be returned home. And she don't want to let go of me. So she made a plan. What she did is, according to the law of Yaqub alayhi salam, if you steal something, then we take you. In lieu of the theft, we'll take you in custody, so I can keep you for a year, 2 years, whatever, I can keep you, because of the theft. So what the auntie did, she put something, an expensive wallet, into my belongings. So he committed theft. So in my childhood, there I got problems just because my auntie took a deep attachment for me. Then as I was growing up, my father took a lot of liking for me. A lot of liking, additional liking. So when my father took a lot of liking and love for me, My brothers got envious, they threw me in the well. See, and I was sold off for a few miserable coins, I was thrown on a soul. And again I got landed. My childhood I got landed, then when I came up of age, then I got landed again. My father took an additional liking for me there. I got landed. Then, after that, now I got tortured by the Aziz, right? And Aziz kept me as his personal attendant, right? Personal attendant. There, his wife took a liking for me, my beauty and all that. And then, because of that, I got landed again. I'm totally innocent. I didn't do any wrong. Not here, not the first time, not the second time, or the third time. But that additional love for love showing me is creating problems for me. So please, moderate your love for me. So, here Yusuf alayhi salam is in the home of the Aziz, right? And Rasulullah alayhi salam had seen Yusuf alayhi salam, perhaps in the third heaven, right? On the night of Mi'raj. فَإِذَا وَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ شَطْرُ الْحُسْنِ. In the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, that he had been given just half of beauty, half. Imagine the beauty is divided, right? The whole world's beauty. And this man has got half of it. The whole universe, the beauty of the universe, divided, right? And man got half of it. It must be something too great. You can't handle it so much. And I say, really, you can't handle it. Because what made those women cut off their hands? The beauty was something beyond, so much. They couldn't handle it. So they got bewildered when they cut off their hands. What we're getting excited for is all kacharazi. If I rather get hooked on to the right things, jannat, what is in jannat? This is all kacharazi, dirt for the side. That's the real thing to really get attached. Yes, that doesn't mean now that you take your wife as kachara. The wife you must take her like the fool, the head of the fool. So then you put it, you get everything in equation, get the equation right. But you know, all kachara, so you also kachara, so you won't show her respect. Then you must take an order. She is the head of all the hoors. So then that will enable you to show her the respect. Right? With love and respect. Now, when this woman took a liking for Yusuf al-Islam, so the Quran says, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She fastened all the doors. Some of them, the first scene, say, there were about 7 doors. Right? You can imagine now, it's a palatial home. One door this side here, one here, one interleaving door. So many ways to get out, right? So, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She fastened all the doors. On the side, in front, behind. Totally she sealed the whole thing up. And then she says, لَيْتَ لَكْ. Come here, my dear. You can imagine now, Yusuf alayhi salam is working for them. Not just a worker, but a slave. He's indebted. Right? And not just a slave, but he's been purchased also. He's purchased what? He purchased his weight in gold, his weight in musk, his weight in silk. Imagine, the most expensive commodity at the time. And that was the price of Yusuf al-Islam that the Aziz had offered to purchase him. And he got him in the house. And now, says the Aziz wife, that he's calling. Right? But you see, what's the thing that is ruling in his life? Thing that is ruling. Thing that is prominent. Right? See, Shaitan's conspiracy from old and today, two main things. That's the conspiracy of Shaitan. Woman and wealth. Woman and wealth. That is not only now, from old and now. So if I want to trap you, I want to blackmail you, either with woman or wealth. Somehow, I must trap you, I must get you involved in some type of a dealing related to wealth or woman. And then after that, I'll get you dancing on my fingers. I'll maneuver you. You can be wealthy, you can be strong, you can be whoever, a hero, but I got you trapped already. Whoever, alim, no alim, but I got you trapped in wealth, I got you trapped in a woman. Now, how are you going to escape? So this is such a dangerous thing. Don't experiment with this. Now imagine how he's, with all the odds are weighing against Yusuf al-Islam. He's in her house. They purchased him. They took him as a child. They gave him all the honor. But she's fastened the doors. There's no way to escape. And then this woman is saying, heed the luck. Come, my dear. Now, look at Yusuf al-Islam's first response. You see, taqwa. You say, rosy solutions. Taqwa. So his first response is, ma'az Allah. Allah forbid. So his sight has gone to Allah Ta'ala immediately. You can imagine now what she must have done to seduce Yusuf, how attractive she must have been, what she must have done just to seduce him. And in all that, that's such a secure environment, nobody is there. The doors are all fastened, so there's no way. And then it is the mistress herself that is calling. Right? If he doesn't listen, then she'll put him into problems. Listen, then he'll be then upgraded, right? So everything is being against him. Everything is being against him. What he says, Ma'ad Allah. First, look at the first response. No, Allah forbid. Innahu Rabbi Ahsana Maswai. The first point of call is what? Allah Ta'ala. Ask Allah Ta'ala. His refuge, his protection. Then he admonishes her. Says, Innahu Rabbi Ahsana Maswai. Just think. He is the master and he made my living so nice here. How can I betray him? See your husband, that means my master, your husband, is alluding, she is alluding also. If he's made my stay nice, then he's also stayed, he's given you a lot of respect as well. So consider what he's done. See I'm thinking, Innahu Rabbi Ahsana Maswai. Then she says to him, but your eyes are too beautiful. See your eyes. So now see how he's thinking. And I say, because we don't connect to the grave, we don't connect to the hereafter, these are difficult problems. To the extent that we connect to the grave, connect to the hereafter, connect to Jannat and Jahannam, our behavior would be totally different. You worry about insan, right? He will do this and he's... But the most he can do is kill you. Can he do anything beyond that? Can't really beyond that. But what is lahil ula wal akhirah? The whole world belongs to Allah Ta'ala, the akhirah belongs to him. That life is unending, that belongs to him. Yeah, for a few days you can say, alright, I control. And after that, the game is up. You go on, we go on. So the more important thing is that in that eternal life, are we secure there? So how we have changed things, that in this transitory life we will be secure. But what Allah Pak wants, that eternal life, there you must be secure. You worry so much about nobody hurting you, nobody trying to mislead you, nobody trying to deceive you, right? But did you ever think about beyond death, that life, nobody must hurt you there, you must get the comforts there, and what actions will then ruin the comforts of that life? What will happen? Right? What will secure that life, and what will ruin? Right? Did you ever think about it? Did you not fear? All your effort is just this little small, short life, all your effort is just confined to that. Beyond that, so you're not a brave man. You're not a strong man. You're not an intelligent man. Very narrow-minded. Naive. Very naive. And this, that man that is broad-minded is thinking beyond. Qabr. That life irreversible. That life permanent. That life for everything. So I don't want to dent that life. This life can be dent, alright. He took advantage over me, whatever. Allah will sort him out in time, right? But that's not a serious thing, not so serious. The most serious thing is that life there, I don't want that to be dented. Now, see the third thing, what he says. Inna Rabbina. So she says, how beautiful eyes. So he's relating to the hereafter. He says, see, with death, this thing will be just pass. running over my cheeks. And she says, hey, but your cheeks, man, is so beautiful, man, rose. So he says, that thing will be the fodder of the worms in the grave. It will be the fodder of the worms. Right. Then she says, what about the teeth, man? Look like, they look like pearls. He says, would death, all this thing will drop, everything will fall, everything will fall off. Then he says to her, see, when you want to engage me, but I saw you did something, you covered your idols. You covered your idols and then you followed me. So why did you do this? He said, no, I don't want the idols to witness the wrong that I'm doing. So you're so conscious about this stone, this lifeless thing, right? Have you got the concern and the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala that nothing prevents him from seeing what you do? The stupid idol, senseless, lifeless, you're so concerned about. Him, nothing prevents him from seeing what you're doing, your mannerisms, your behavior, etc. So you lost sight of him entirely. That's your brains. Now, she is still revving, see. That adrenaline in her is pushing. She's not listening to the story. So now, she's given the chase. She tried everything and he spoke her out of it. But now she's giving him the chase. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ Right. So Yusuf Ali Salam is in ahead and she's following him. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ And in the whole chase, she tore his shirt from the back. So now see, when you are for Allah Ta'ala, how Allah Ta'ala helps you out. So the Mufassirin say that وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابَ وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبُرٍ وَأَلْفَيَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ As he ran towards the doors just opened out. He ran toward the doors, and the doors just opened out. And to their surprise, the master sahab is there. Master sahab is right at the door. What we were trying to escape, he is there. And she's caught out very hard. She's chasing. Right? And now, so she made up a story. See. So I tell people, right, well, this love story is, please don't fall into it. Because the one that you love, right, they in problem, they'll put you into the problem. If they in problem, they will implicate you. Right? Whether it is the mama in the house, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's whatever. But if they in the deep end, they'll drag you in. So it's a very, very dicey thing. Very, very dicey thing. Don't get this. It's so dangerous. Right? So she says, وَأَلْفَيَا سَيْدِ قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاهُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِيَحْرِي See, this person must be imprisoned, he must be punished. See what he's doing. He's trying to force me. He's forcing me into something wrong. So, Yusuf Ali Salam says, see, so she tried to attract me. She tried. And I was running out. I'm running out and she's forcing me into this haram. Now, that's where now, see, you said, where you got Allah Pak in front of you, Allah Pak creates an exit. You have Allah Pak in you, so Allah Pak creates an exit. Now, a child that's in the cradle, 1 week old, that child is saying, وَالشَّهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلْ So the child that is in the cradle 1 week, that child is saying, if the kurta is torn from the front, then Yusuf al-Islam is guilty. Because he's approaching and she's pushing him away. Right? But if the kurta is torn from the back, then Yusuf al-Islam is speaking the truth and she is guilty. She is speaking a lie. Because he's running away and she's dragging him. You also understand that Yusuf al-Islam, right? Yusuf al-Islam is now the great-grandson of Ibrahim al-Islam, right? Yusuf ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, right? So they were so advanced wearing kurta already at the time. It's about, from Yusuf Islam time to now, it's about 5,000 years, right? And Darahima Ma'duda, they're using dirhams at the time also. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ It's not they're bartering. No, they're using dirhams. That's the nas of the Quran, actually. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ See, see that? كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوَ الْفَحْشَى So when you trust me, and you have taqwa for me, then Allah says, I will remove all these impediments. I will remove all shameful things. Everything, I'll move it out. But you trust me. Take care of me, I will do the rest. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ He will create an exit and he will provide. He will create an exit and he will provide, right? How much yakin do we have in Allah Ta'ala? We have so much of yakin. I got a fruit farm and the fruit farm will do for me. I got this cards, phone cards that he will do for me. Allah Ta'ala has guaranteed that you will have taqwa and do your namaz right, I will take care. We have that amount of trust in Allah Ta'ala that we have in our farms, in our products, and whatever else. Do we have that level of yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala will take care if I have taqwa and I take care of my namaz and the namaz of my household? Not only my namaz, but the namaz of my household, Allah Ta'ala will take care. No matter what predicament I am in, He'll take care of my rozi, of myself, my integrity, everything He'll take care. But I must do this. This is the promise of the Quran. Yes, my farm, my business, my investments, I got too much of trust in that. This, what he's promising, do we have that level? I can fight with him, I can argue with him. But what Allah Pak is promising, by have taqwa, and get your namaz right, and your household namaz right, get it right, put it right, come early to the masjid, do it nice. I will take risk. Do we have that trust in Allah? That's what I'm saying. Where we lost it is, we don't have the love for Allah Ta'ala, as we supposed to be having. We don't have the respect, and we don't trust Him like we're supposed to be. So therefore, the whole life becomes complicated. This thing is working out, that thing is not working. This thing is working out, that thing is not working. One thing is working out, one thing is failing. One thing is working out, one thing is failing. And Allah is everywhere. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ He is with you everywhere. Whether you're here or in Japan, He is with you. That same Allah Ta'ala that's here, the same Allah that is there. So He wants this one thing. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ اجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. Just do that. And Allah will be with you.